The farmer stamped down the twist with his thumb, drew deeply and pleasurably a few times, then looked at me with mild surprise.
Well, let's see. We could bring Dog out, but don't know as he'll be much good. He's nobbut a young'un.
He sauntered back to the farmhouse and opened a door. A shaggy cur catapulted out, barking in delight, and Mr. K brought him over to the field.
Get away, boy!
He cried, gesturing towards the cattle who had resumed their grazings, and the dog streaked behind them. I really began to hope as we went up the hill with the hairy little figure darting in, nipping at the heels, but at the barn the rot set in again. I could see the heifers beginning to sense the inexperience of the dog, and one of them managed to kick him briskly under the chin as he came in. The little animal yelped, and his tail went down. He stood uncertainly, looked at the beasts advancing on him now, shaking their horns threateningly. Then he seemed to come to a decision, and slunk away. The young cattle went after him at increasing speed, and in a moment I was looking at the extraordinary spectacle of a dog going flat out down the hill with the heifers drumming close behind him. At the foot, he disappeared under a gate, and we saw him no more. Something seemed to give way in my head.
Oh, God!
I yelled.
We're never going to get those damn things tested. I'll just have to leave them. I don't know what the ministry's going to say, but I've had enough.
The farmer looked at me, ruminatively. He seemed to recognize that I was at breaking point.
Aye, it's no good,
he said, tapping his pipe out on his heel.
We'll have to get Sam.
Sam?
Aye, Sam Broadbent. Works for me neighbour. He'll get him in all right.
How's he going to do that?
Oh, he can imitate a fly.
For a moment, my mind reeled.
Did you say
imitate a fly?
That's right. A warble fly, the nose. He's a bit slow, his lad, but by gore, he can imitate a fly. I'll go and get him. He's only 2 fields down the road.
I watched the farmers retreating back in disbelief. Then I threw myself down on the ground. At any other time, I would have enjoyed lying there on the slope with the sun on my face and the grass cool against my sweating back. The air was still and heavy with the fragrance of clover, and when I opened my eyes, the gentle curve of the valley floor was a vision of peace. But my mind was a turmoil. I had a full day's ministry work waiting for me, and I was an hour behind time already. I could just picture the long succession of farmers waiting for me and cursing me heartily. The tension built in me till I could stand it no longer. I jumped to my feet and ran down to the gate at the foot. I could see along the road from there, and I was relieved to find Mr. K was on his way back. Just behind him, a large fat man was riding slowly on a very small bicycle, his heels on the pedals, his feet and knees sticking out at right angles. Tufts of greasy black hair stuck out at random from under a kind of skull cap, which looked like an old bowler without the brim.
"Sam's come to give us an hand,"
said Mr. K with an air of quiet triumph.
"Good morning,"
I said, and the big man turned slowly and nodded. The eyes in the round, unshaven face were vacant and incurious, and I decided that Sam did indeed look a bit slow. I found it difficult to imagine how he could possibly be of any help. The heifers, standing nearby, watched with languid interest as we came through the gate. They had obviously enjoyed every minute of the morning's entertainment, and it seemed they were game for a little more fun if we so desired. But it was up to us, of course. They weren't worried either way. Sam propped his bicycle against the wall and paced solemnly forward. He made a circle of his thumb and forefinger and placed it to his lips. His cheeks worked as though he were getting everything into place. Then he took a deep breath. And from nowhere, it seemed, came a sudden swelling of angry sound, a vicious humming and buzzing which made me look round in alarm for the enraged insect zooming in for the kill. The effect on the heifers was electric. Their superior air vanished and was replaced by rigid anxiety. Then, as the noise increased in volume, they turned and charged up the hill. But it wasn't the carefree frolic of before. No tossing heads, waving tails and kicking heels. This time, they kept shoulder to shoulder in a frightened block. Mr. K and I, trotting on either side, directed them yet again up to the building where they formed a group, looking nervously around them. We had to wait for a short while for Sam to arrive. He was clearly a one-pace man and ascended the slope unhurriedly. At the top, he paused to regain his breath, fixed the animals with a blank gaze, and carefully adjusted his fingers against his mouth. A moment's tense silence. Then the humming broke out again, even more furious and insistent than before. The heifers knew when they were beaten. With a chorus of startled bellows, they turned and rushed into the building, and I crashed the half door behind them. I stood leaning against it, unable to believe my troubles were over. Sam joined me and looked into the dark interior. As if to finally establish his mastery, he gave a sudden, sharp blast, this time without his fingers, and his victims huddled still closer against the far wall. A few minutes later, after Sam had left us, I was happily clipping and injecting the necks. I looked up at the farmer.
"You know, I can still hardly believe what I saw there. It was like magic."
"That chap has a wonderful gift." Mr. K looked over the half door, and I followed his gaze down the grassy slope to the road. Sam was riding away, and the strange black headwear was just visible, bobbing along the top of a wall. "Aye. He can imitate a fly, all right. Poor old lad. It's the only thing he's good at."